Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. And let's read this together. If you're there, if you have your Bible, please open it. I would rather have you bring your own Bible to church, but if you don't have it, we will have it on the screen here. Amen. Let's read this together. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now listen to this. This one kind of sounds bad to me. Imagine if a friend came to you and said, you're my friend if you do what I tell you to do. You're like, I don't want nothing to do with you. But listen, this is not a human being. This is a man. This is more than just Son of Man. This is Son of God saying this to us. A perfect Son of God. You're my friends if you do what I command you to do. You are my friends if you do. Let's read that together. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Huh. So there is what? If you don't do what he commands you, come on, talk to me. You're not his friend. Condition. Amen. So you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now we know Jesus was perfect, so he can't do what we do. So he says, I want you to call you higher so you can do what I do. And nobody ever gets to the perfect place, but we get closer. Bible says, be ye perfect as I am perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but that means God wants us to grow. You know, salvation, raising your hand, that's just the beginning step of our walk with God. Just because you raised your hand doesn't automatically make you a friend of God. Listen to this. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I want to tell you this, guys, that Jesus didn't call his disciples his friends right away. He didn't call them his friends when he called them. He didn't call Peter his friend when he called him while Peter was fishing. Actually, the only time Jesus calls somebody friend is in this scripture. You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. Some of you will automatically object and say, there's a song out there, Jesus, friend of sinners, blah, blah, blah. What about that, Pastor? I thought Jesus was a friend of sinners. Okay, right? Wrong or right? I don't know. Come on. Is Jesus a friend of sinners? And we're going to discuss this today. Amen. Hold on. Don't say amen yet. Thank you for that amen, brother. But I just want to show you something that about after 3 years of ministry, that's when Jesus called his disciples his friends. Nowhere else. But Pastor, there's a scripture. I know there's a scripture. Well, we're going to read this scripture and then we're going to read that scripture as well that you're talking about. Okay, we're going to get to that. So let's read it. 15. No longer do I call you servants. So first he says you're my servants. So watch this. Saved, servant, friend. Saved, step one. Servant, student, friend. Saved, servant, student, friend. Some people get stuck on saved. You're not just called to be saved. You are called to be the friend of God. Listen to this. Verse 13. Put 13 on. Greater love has no one than this than to lay down his life for his friends. What is Jesus saying? I love you so much that I am laying my life down for you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a person you want to be friends with so bad, but they want nothing to do with you? What kind of friendship will you have? Will you have a friendship with them? No, you won't. Doesn't matter how hard one person's trying to be friends, if the other person doesn't respond, there's going to be no relationship. And so Jesus says, from my point of view, I am your friend. You know why? Because I show you the greatest love. I lay my life down for you. But if you stay stuck on, not stupid, but saved, if you're still getting stuck on saved, we don't have a friendship. We don't have a friendship. And God is saying, and I feel this strong today, I wanted to preach a different message on Zacchaeus and how Jesus hanged out with Zacchaeus and make you feel good. But today I'm not going to do that. Holy Spirit totally changed me. He said, talk to them. I want to be friends with them. And I already did everything possible. And I want to be friends with them. But now they have to respond to me and be my friends. So who is Jesus? Jesus who wants to be my friend. Amen. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. So now we have a condition. You want to be my friend? What do you got to do? Do what I say. Now, if a human being, sinful human being said that, you didn't have to do it. You would say, I don't want to be friends with you. But when the Son of God, perfect Son of God, who gave his life for you, says that, you should listen. You shouldn't get offended by that. Amen? Now open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. Because now I know you're asking this question. You're saying to me this. I know there is a verse in the Bible where it says Jesus is a friend of sinners. Well, there is. And we're going to read it now. Amen? So, there's a debate going on between Jesus and Pharisees and religious leaders. They don't know what to do with him, so they're trying to put him down. And they're trying to call him different names. And so they say this. And so this is the context. Verse 33 says this. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. So now they're saying that John the Baptist has a demon. Okay, would you say that John the Baptist has a demon? No, but it says in the Bible that it was the people saying that who didn't like him, right? So now let's go verse 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Okay. Did Jesus say that about himself, or did somebody else say that about him? Somebody else said that about him, that Jesus is a friend of sinners, gets drunk and parties, and he's a friend of sinners. Jesus never said that about himself. Although Jesus hanged out with sinners, he ate with sinners, he went to their house, but he didn't go to their level. He was there to bring them out to his level. They were in darkness. They were living in prisons of addiction. They were living in prostitution, some of them. Some of them were alcoholics and thieves, tax collectors, cheating the people. So he didn't go to be them. He went down to pull them out. So when it says Jesus is a friend of sinners, it was what somebody else said about him. But the only time Jesus said that I'm your friend is in John chapter 15, verse 15, or 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. And then there's privileges. It was to his disciples at the end of his life. So, Jesus wants you to be his friend. Many people take out of context Luke 7. And they say, well, Jesus was hanging out in the bar, and Jesus was hanging out with prostitutes, so I like hanging out at the bar, and I like hanging out with prostitutes. But notice, and so a lot of people use that as an opportunity, a license to indulge themselves. And then they wonder, Christianity doesn't work. And they wonder, I tried that religion thing, it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. All they want is my money. That's the only thing you'll hear. Amen? being tough today. I know, come next Sunday, I'll be nice. But today I'm going to be for real. And so what happens is people go out and live that lifestyle and they wonder why there's no power in my life. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why do I always get in trouble? Why is my marriage in trouble? Why is this? Why is that? Because what we're doing is we're taking the verse out of context and we're trying to live by it. Amen. Don't take Bible out of context. Jesus never said he was a friend of sinners. It was the people who tried to put him down. It was religious leaders. They were trying to insult him, saying, friend of sinners, look at him. He can't be God. If you look at Hebrew chapter 7, and I'm just quickly going to show that. I don't think you guys have that up there, and so they can't put it on the screen, if I can find Hebrew. Okay, back up. Hebrew chapter 7, verse 26 says this about Jesus. For we have such a high priest, he was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled. Listen to this. Undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Huh. Look what the Bible says, right? Look what God says about himself. See, people who hate him say he's a friend of sinners. And he was a friend of sinners. Don't get me wrong. He was there to rescue them. You know, there's different types of friendships. There's friendships that just, I'm here to help you type friendship. But there is a friendship where we talk to each other. We share secrets with one another. Right? We help one another. You know what? What friend means to me is this. We are on the same level. We're going the same place. We like each other. We don't judge each other. And if one of us fails, we can go easily without feeling that somebody's going to judge us. We can go to them and share with them and confess our sins to those kind of friends. If my friend calls me 3 a.m, I will get up and do whatever they need. Right? But if a so-called friend I met once calls me and says, bail me out of jail, I'm going to get offended. Or I'm not even going to answer. Amen? So there's different types of friendship. And so Jesus says, I want you to be my friend on a higher level. I want you to be my friend. Friendship is such a beautiful thing, guys. See, when it comes to our family, mothers, fathers, and children, we have to love our children, right? But friendship, the cool thing about friendship, it's that it's free will. I don't have to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I don't have to hang out with you. I want to hang out with you. I had a guy who got in a fight with his girlfriend, calls me at 3 a.m, and says, pick me up. I'm waiting for you. And he's 3 blocks from his girlfriend's house. And he says, pick me up, 3 a.m. I'm like, I'm not picking you up. We're not friends. So he keeps calling me, wouldn't leave me alone. And I said, I don't want to pick you up. He was bothering me so bad, I picked him up, but we're not friends. He's bothering me. I mean, he almost, it was freezing. It was in the middle of winter. And he's freezing there, and like 3 blocks from where he lives. He just got offended and says, I'm gone, out of here. So I took him 3 blocks to Mission and just dropped him off there. I'm not taking him to my house. He's not my friend. But if that happened to my friend, if that happened to your friend, if something like that happened, yeah, come on. There's a room in my house. You can sleep here. I'll give you blankets. I'll give you food, whatever. You're my friend. See, friends have a closer relationship with one another. Amen. It's built on mutual trust and love. Amen. There's 2 types of friendships you can have. You can have friendship with God, and you can have friendship with the world. You got to remember, and right now, the lines between the church and believers and the world is so blurry, you can't even see who is a Christian, who is not. What's happening in an unchristian family, the same thing is happening in a Christian family. Why? Because we're stuck on salvation mode. We're stuck just being saved. God is calling you higher. Now, I'm not preaching the gospel of separation. That's not what I'm preaching. I grew up in a fundamentalist type of a home. Maybe some of you grew up in that type of a home where we were like, no this, no that, and everything was no. You couldn't wear a ring because it was from the devil. You couldn't have a Christmas tree because it was bad. And what happens in that environment, they self-cannibalized each other. They ate each other up. So that's not what I'm preaching. But then there's other side of that, is that people say, well, I don't like this religious stuff, so I'm going to go and live however I want to because I'm saved. Because of grace of God. I know God will never leave me or forsake me. Let me give you an example. Suppose a husband would say, I know my wife loves me so much, doesn't matter what I did, she would still keep me. So he goes and cheats on her and lies and go commits adultery and blah, blah, blah. And then he comes and says, well, but I know you're going to take me back. That husband doesn't love his wife. Right? And sometimes we do that about grace. We say, God will forgive me, so I'm going to do it. That's not what grace is for. That's not what grace is for. And so God is saying, come higher. Come to the level of friendship with me. Come to the level of friendship with me. Open to James chapter 4 verse 3. James chapter 4 verse 3. This is a great example here. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world, come on, is enmity with God? Whoo, you won't hear this preached in any church in America today. You won't hear this. But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna be accountable for you, so I better tell you the truth. Friendship with the world is an enmity with God. Let's continue. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, I want the world to like me. I want them to respect me. I want this and that. Makes himself an enemy of God. Imagine this. You get married to somebody and you're in love, and your wife comes and says to you, honey, can I have $100? Why? Well, I got a lover I'm going to hang out and spend some time with. Right? I got a lover I want to spend some time with. Why does it say in verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses? What would that be called? If a woman did that, or if a man did that, come to his wife and says, honey, can I have, a 50? 50? Can I have 50? $50? And why? Well, I got a girl here I'm going to try to impress. I'm not coming home tonight. What would that be called? Adultery, right? Adultery. That's what God says. You do the same thing to me. You come and pray, God, give me $50. Bless my finances. Bless me so I can go and spend money on the world. So I can go and live without you 6 days a week. And on the seventh, I'll come and feel good about myself, because Pastor Alex is going to preach a great message, and he's going to make an altar call, and I'm going to raise my hand, and I'm drop my sins in a bucket and leave free, do it again. That's not what he's talking about. Come on, Christians, wake up. There is more than just salvation. Listen, if you've been saved, the message of salvation is not for you anymore. That's it. You don't have to raise your hand. If you've been saved, the message of salvation is not for you. It's for those who have not heard about God. Somebody's got to say amen. Even if you don't like me, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come to become like one of us. He came to bring us out from where we were. We were all living in darkness, in sin, in prisons of all kinds of things. And he says, come. Come out. Come out. I have a better plan for you. Some of you here have great testimonies. What alcoholism has done to you. What drugs has done to you. And you know where you were when he found you. And you would say, don't go there. But why is it that we're afraid to preach about it in church? At least once in a while. Amen. I don't hate you. I love you. You know that. I love you. And I would rather be nice to you and have you like me too. But today I got to do what I got to do. Because I got to tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. Now, what are the benefits? Why should you desire to be a friend of God? Number one, because he's the best friend you can have. No, we don't have many in life best friends. If you get one or two friends in life who are best friends, you're like, you're a rich man. Right? Most of us don't have best friends. Our spouse, you know, could be one of them. But otherwise, after that, we don't have. And even spouse could be, you know. We have a great relationship with Tanya. But boy, we disagree a lot. Politically, we disagree. You know, about finances, we disagree. We disagree on credit cards. I always have to watch. No, just kidding. Amen. But it's rare that you find a person who totally agrees with you, who you like, and who you just totally. Well, Jesus is the best friend you can have. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus Christ. If he's wanting to be your friend, don't be stupid. Respond. If a king of kings, if President Barack Obama came and said, I want to be friends with you, don't be a fool. If you politically disagree with him, you would, of course. But still, if you did agree with him politically, you would want to be friends. Right? I got friends in high places, blah, blah, blah. You know, stuff like that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Benefits comes with having friends with in high places. So why would you want to be friends? Because he's the best friend you can have. John 15, verse 13 says this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You know what? If I had a friend, I have some friends, but I don't know if I'll give my life for them. You really have to like your friend. How many of you here have a friend that you would lay down your life for? Okay, one, two. Parents, maybe you lay down your life for kids, right? But I'm talking about friend. That's blood. I'm talking about friend. See, not a lot of us. But Jesus Christ says, I can prove you that I'm your real friend. I lay my life down for you. I do what's best for you. I'm never here to put you down, to destroy you. I'm always here to lift you up, to build you up, fill you with joy. I want to turn your water into wine, which represents joy. I want to anoint your head with oil, which represents when your car has oil, what happens? Smooth. Right? Amen. So he says, I want to anoint you. I want to bless you. I want to do all these things for you. Now you have to respond. You have to say, God, I want to be your friend too. A lot of us, you know, we call God, he's my dog, you know. He's my bud, you know. Jesus Christ is my dog, man. What's up? Jesus Christ is, but really, how many of you truly can say he's my friend? Deep down inside. I had to think about it this week. God, can I call you friend? And not all the time. Not all the time. I want to be in that place. So I'm not like beating you up because I want to be there too. I want to be a friend of God. And that means I have to turn away from the world and follow after God. What does that mean, Pastor? We shouldn't hang out with sinners? No, Jesus hang out with sinners. But you know what? When you hang out with sinners, bring Jesus with you. Come on, you be Jesus today. You be Jesus. Now, a lot of times people go to a club or a bar to get away from Jesus. So they say, Jesus, you stay here, okay, stay there. I'm going to the club to win some souls. I'm going to win some people for Jesus, you know. So I get there and I'm like, okay, he doesn't see me. I don't see him. Everything is good. But you know what? If you really think that you want to win people for Jesus, take Jesus with you. He'll help you win people for Jesus. How many of you know, okay, how many of you know you'll behave differently? You'll speak differently. You'll act differently if you have Jesus with you. But he is with you. So what are you talking about? He is with you. He's watching you. The Spirit of God is in you. And Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And so when we start being friendly with the world, adultery, right? My wife is here, but my girlfriend is here, and I'm more with my girlfriend, you know? God says, you become an enemy to me. Thank you, Eric. God says, you become a and see, you won't hear this preach. You won't hear this preach. But a lot of Christians are totally in a ditch when you talk about being friendship with the world. There's no difference. Ask yourself, is there a difference between you and the world? If there's not, you need to make some steps. So today my message is not a message of salvation. And maybe you do need salvation, so you need to give your life to Christ today. My message today is a message that you need to get higher. You need to come to the level where you can be friends with God. So why should we become friends with God? Because he's the best friend you can have. Number two, friends get priority treatment in relationship. Amen? When you are friends with Jesus, there are certain privileges. John 15 says this, verse 15. No longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. So one of the things God is making promise, he says, I'll tell you what I'm doing. That's one of the benefits. How many of you would like to kind of get a glimpse of what the future holds? God says, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. If you're friends with me. A Christian needs to live a life hearing the voice of God. And I'm not talking audibly, but deep inside, you need to be led by the Spirit, people. If I were to ask you a question, when was the last time you heard the voice of God in your heart? What would you say? Maybe you heard the voice of conscience saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. That's the only voice you heard. That's still the voice of God. Listen to it. You need to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Friend doesn't need to even knock. They can come and open the door and say hi. When a person who doesn't want to, you don't want them to be there, they come, they knock on the door, you open it a little bit and you don't move so they don't come in, right? You just say, what do you want? You know, nicely, hi, hi. And you know they want to come in and you're like, sorry. I'm going to keep the door closed, amen? God is calling us to have a relationship with him that's not lukewarm. Jesus says in Revelations, I was just reminded of that this morning, that I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're in the middle. You don't serve me and you're not in the world. Choose one. Bible says choose who you're going to serve. This is serious. Because what happens is this. Eric, stand, be here. Jesus, and what's your name? Brendan, come over here. Stand. You're the world. All right. You're the world. I want you to grab my arm. And both of them are fighting for me, for my soul. So Eric is fighting, but Eric cannot touch me because Eric is spiritual. So Eric says, come. Come. Eric says, Jesus. And this guy says, he's the world. He says, come too. Come. But look what's the difference is. See? He's holding the world, the flesh. He's holding. And so you have a choice to make. Who am I going to be with? Remember, these two are enemies. They're enemies. This guy doesn't like this guy. And this guy doesn't like this one. So you have a choice to make. You can't be in the middle. You say, I'll serve you and you. I like you too, you know. You make me feel fun, you know. I have to pay for it, of course, in the morning. But, you know, walk of shame or walk of toilet bowl, you know, puking. But this guy says, come to me. I'll take care of, you know, I'll give you life. And so you have a choice to make. Who you're going to choose, but you cannot be in the middle. Christians are called to be friends. And I choose Jesus. Thank you, guys. I choose Jesus. Who will you choose? Friendship with Jesus puts you in priority of prayers being answered. Verse 16d. and that you, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give to you. The reason God doesn't answer prayer, you're not friends. He is obligated to answer prayers of friends. Most people, if they don't know your heart, they'll ask you for things and you can't answer. So let's say this, your friend will never do this. Your friend will never come to you and say, hey, listen, can you cover with my wife while I go and hang out with this girl right here, with this woman over here? Right? Your friend cannot ask you that. Right? And sometimes we come to God and say, God, help me with this so I can go do the world. And God says, I can't answer that prayer. I answer the prayers of my friends. Listen to this. In my name, the Father will give you, if we're friends. Certain knowledge is only revealed to friends. Friends share secrets. God wants to share secrets with you. So how do we become friends of God? Quickly, number one, fellowship. Do you have fellowship with God daily? What does it mean? It means you read the Word. Because if you were with Jesus, he wouldn't just sit there and say nothing. He would speak to you. He would give you some advice how you can have a better life. But he's not physically present, but his Spirit is still present through his Word. Right? His Spirit of God uses the Word of God. And just as what he would say to you then, he can say to you today. So daily spending time at the rivers of life. You know, a tree, in order to grow good, its roots must be connected to water sources. So it can draw nutrients. That's what the Bible says. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers. And he'll produce fruit. Jesus wants you to have fruit of your salvation, not just the name of it. Do you have fruit? Hallelujah. B, do we fall in love with his commandments? He says, if you want to be my friend, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. Do we fall in love with his commandments? That's another one. Three, do we have fellowship with believers? You can say you're friends with Jesus, but if you have no Christian friends, you don't hang out with anybody, you don't fellowship. Fellowship is spiritual. Whoever you feel comfortable with, that's who you are. If I feel comfortable with the world, well, then I am of the world. If I feel comfortable with Christ and his people, then I am of Christ. Amen. So listen to this. John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? One another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you have fellowship with other believers? That's so important. You're not the only Christian in the world. There's others. And God says you can have fellowship and have fun together. And you can discuss the Word of God together. Do you have Christian friends? Or do you have friends of the world? Or you have no friends at all, maybe, some of you. God wants you to have fellowship. Amen? And number four. Friendship with the world is an enemy with God. How do you become friendship with God? Turn away from the world. Say, I'm going to go 100% for God. I'm going to go 100% for reaching people for Jesus. I'm going to change the world. I watched this Discovery Channel Jesus series or Bible series. How many of you have seen that, Discovery Channel? At the end, there Jesus comes to Peter in a boat and says, Peter, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And Peter says, what are we going to do? That was so beautiful. Jesus said, we're going to change the world. I think the call is not just to Peter, but for all of us today. You know, if you live for yourself, it's temporary. It's going to die with you. But if you live for God and for other people, that will last for eternity. There is eternity, people. There is heaven and hell. And what we do for God, not for ourselves. And God will take care of us. Don't worry about that. God will provide for you. He says, if I provide for birds and for grass and for flowers, I'll provide for you of little faith. You of little faith. He says, go after me. Seek after me. Become friends with me. I'm going to tell you the future. I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to use you. God takes these 11 guys. Jesus takes these 11 guys in 3 years, transforms their life, and they change the world. And they're not done changing, because there's people here who God wants to use to change the world. You'll go to a movie and you'll forget about it. You'll go to a club and you'll want some more. But what you do for God will last for eternity. God is calling you to come up higher. Jesus says, I want to be your friend. God says, if you friend with the world, can't be my friend. If you friend with me, then you can't be friend of the world. We're to reach the world, but we're not to be friends with the world. Meaning we have the same interest, the same lifestyle. No, we're different now. We're new creation. We used to be in the world. Now we're a new creation. The old has passed away.